You know what I mean? Knowing it's coming. If you have, you know, run with the footmen and they have wearied you, how will you do with chariots? If you can't live righteously and godly in this time, how do you think you're going to walk in the time of the greatest trouble? You know, in the hour of temptation, how will you do? Will you escape the hour? If you cannot escape the temptation that is now, how will you escape the temptation that is to come? Remember, James had said, I'll give you a little clue, but James had said, let the testing, the temptation works patience, and let patience have her perfect work. And in the book of Revelation, he says, because you have kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation. We are kept from the hour of temptation by having had the perfect work of patience, which is by temptation, by enduring temptation. Now, we endure temptation now so that we may escape the hour to come. We must be prepared. That's why it is almost, there is this imperative, this urgency in all the writings of the apostles. There is not a hint that we should ever be complacent. And the Lord didn't, the Spirit of God did not, to consider it. It's been like about 1982 years, approximately, since the Lord ascended into heaven. It's like, from the ascension of the Lord, it's about 1982. Consider this. The apostles all expected him to return real soon. They talk about it all the time, like, she's coming soon. They were expecting it in their generation, because you know why? The Spirit of God led them to believe that. The Spirit of God led, people always look for some sort of loophole, but I'm telling you, the Spirit of God wanted them to believe that. It wanted them to have this urgency. It wants us to have the same urgency that we should believe His coming is in our generation. Why? So that we would prepare ourselves thereto. And perhaps for other reasons, that God took counsel in Himself that He has not revealed to me. Perhaps to cause the scoffers to say these things. Why would the scoffers say, where is the promise of His coming? Well, because God promised He'd come. And He made it seem like it was going to be right away. And now it's been, you consider, there was like 500 years or so of silence between the Old Testament and the New Testament. How much silence has there been since the apostles? How much silence? Since like 150 AD, I mean, or whenever exactly, you know, I don't know precisely when it all ended. Apostle John, I think they thought of him as being the latest. You know, since then, all this silence. So, they look at the creation and say, pretty much everything's the same. Look at gravity works. This earth goes around the sun. We know that now. We're so smart. And et cetera, et cetera. Now, verse 5, for this they are willingly ignorant of, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that was, that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved to fire, against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. People are willingly, meaning they desire to be ignorant of this. It's something they don't want to think about. How the heavens and the earth, the heavens were of old. The earth standing out of the water and in the water. And the world it was overflowed with water and perished. But beloved, you know, and so anyways, the heavens and earth which are now, you know, I that makes me think. You know, in Noah's days, the fountains were open and so on and so forth. But here we see the heavens of old and the earth and this great destruction, you know, of the heavens and the earth. You know, we look for new heavens and new earth, right? And even Isaiah, the prophet, spoke of this in Isaiah chapter 66, of the new heavens and the new earth. But the heavens and earth which are now, the current order of things, this is his point. By the word of God, there was a world before, and it was destroyed. This is the part they're willingly ignorant. Now, to go into the details of that is not important. What you need to know is the world has been destroyed before. The heavens and earth have been destroyed in the past by water. But the heavens and earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, literally it means to amass, a reserve. Reserved, that word reserved is like to guard or held back. Reserved to fire against the day of judgment and the perdition, apollyon. The word apollyon is used for, like, in the scriptures a lot for destruction. The son of perdition. You know, they were made to be taken and destroyed. Apollya. Satan is called Apollyon, or the angel of the bottomless pit, I'm sorry, is called Apollyon, which means the destroyer. Satan just means the enemy. There's lots of Satans out there, you know, enemies. My enemies are my Satan. Though there is a particular Satan as well. The world is kept in store, is prepared. The heavens and the earth are waiting for a judgment. And for the destruction of the ungodly. They're kept in store for that. Everything you see is waiting to be destroyed by fire. And made new.